Hello, great friends. Thank you and welcome to Awareness of the Soul with your host, Vincenzo Gorisco. We're going to talk about mind shifting. We're going to talk about modern yoga, the methodology in the Kriya yoga tradition today. And we start with some questions. And the questions are two. What do I really value? And the second question is, where am I at? Think about these questions. Write it down. We're going to explore and what these questions are hiding behind. So all humans want basically one thing, supreme happiness, ultimate good, feeling good about themselves and their lives, every area of their lives. They want to excel, they want fulfillment, they want contentment. And in this radio show, we're going to explain how to do it step by step, and you're going to get the tools that are working for you, and the ones that are not working for you, you can forget about for the moment, and choose the one that resonates with you the most, and also be willing to expand your mind. And grow organically. Start with what intrigues you or you know is right for you, and then grow step by step. So this is Vincenzo Gorisco. I would like to introduce myself quickly. I am Italian, living in Thailand. I've been traveling a little bit around the world. I've been a monk for a year in India, but before that I was living in London and I did many things. I've been a musician, an artist, an actor, and but since a very young age I had a great fascination for the mysteries of love. I was asking myself what was behind things, and I could see something. I could see things. I could sense things. I could see when somebody was lying, was saying the truth. And but, you know, the education and the fear of what is hidden and unknown held me back. And our reality is vast, not just this body. We have so much more. But when we're young, we are afraid of things, and we don't know who's behind the door, or we don't know why we're feeling such things, then our fears holds us back. But if you let go of your fear, all things will be revealed to you gradually, step by step. Little baby step at a time. So at that time, I had the perception of myself. I knew that there was an I within me that was not reflected in any way of what I was seeing around me. I could not find how whatever I was doing, whatever I was saying, all the people that I could see they were doing or saying something, I could not relate that inner I, that inner myself, with any of the things that were happening in the world. And this is because the awareness of your spirit is alive within you since you're very young, and I could feel that very strongly. And at the same time, I could understand that we work by patterns. I could feel mechanism within myself that would project outside of myself. So this is what I call awareness of the soul. The awareness of the spirit is that I within yourself that never changes, and the awareness of the soul is the awareness of the mechanism of your emotions, of your thoughts, of your energy that create patterns around you. They create the relationship with your inner self and the outer self. Awareness of the soul is the awareness of the manifested life, awareness of your memory track. What are you? You're a memory track. You're a set of patterns being put together. Or you are the infinite spirit, which is unchangeable. And being aware of your soul, and this is a good thing, to be aware of your soul, you have to be aware of the spirit first. But once you are aware of the spirit, you become really aware of your soul. And at that point, you are able to dream the dream you want. You realize that there's no difference between this dream and a bigger dream. Between the dream in this house or the dream of a bigger house or a smaller house. Between this dream of happiness and this dream of sorrow. So this radio show is for people who want to change their lives for the better by being aware and make it grow, make their lives grow until they become aware of the spirit again. So you see, it's a step back process in a way by understanding the mechanism of their soul. And by understanding that, they understand the mechanism of the true power. Also, it is for people who are aware of their spirit already and want intellectual and practical clarification on how to use their awareness in a creative way. So let's talk about a little bit of my yoga background, because I was fascinated by the techniques of yoga and the yoga teachings, because I could see that there is a truth behind those teachings. And that gave me so much. I started to meditate when I was 17, and I never stopped because at some point, everything I was looking for, all the peace and all the happiness started to pour in, and I was so full of energy. And I realized that everything I was looking for was there. It was not in things, even though, of course, we have desires because I'm not totally free. We're not free. We are on our way to freedom. But I identified the teachings of yoga as a resource of true connection with myself. How could I keep the connection that I had with my spirit alive? So that was my self-nourishment, the food for my soul. And what kept my innate awareness still alive? And I am talking about all aspects of yoga, not just the yoga postures known as Hatha Yoga. Hatha Yoga is the section of yoga which relates to the body. Today is much more used as a gymnastic mechanism to lose weight or to have a better body shape or whatever. But I refer to the methodology of yoga that brings you in touch with your true nature, with the image of the universe within you. Some people call it God abiding in you or living in you or the higher self, the cosmic intelligence present in you. And that is the yoga that you're looking for. You know, originally, the Hatha Yoga, the physical part of yoga, was actually created as a way to prepare the body for higher attunement with the universal self, with that part of you that is in connection always with God. And it was just a small part of the philosophy and practices of yoga. And what I'm actually practicing is more that section that could be referred to as Raja Yoga, which is mastery of the mind. Mastery of the mind so that you can do with the mind whatever you want. You're not a slave, but you are the master. You're not a slave of your emotions. You're not a slave of your thoughts. You're not a slave of your own patterns repeating. But you can step out and think the thought that you never thought before. And by stepping out, you get into your own true power. And you realize that there's no difference between this matter, between the thoughts, between the emotions. They're all made as of energy, vibrating at different levels. And when you get there, then you start shaping the energy and you start seeing things around you moving in the way you were thinking, moving in the way you wanted, you wished. And at that point, you start getting a little bit of power. But that power reacting and acting in this world, you know, needs to be carefully managed. So yoga is another thing which is important to understand is that yoga is not a religion. You don't have to change yourself to practice yoga. It is a methodology to realize your true self. It is a way of life, but it's not something different than you are now. If you're a Christian, you don't have to become a Hindu. If you're a Buddhist, you don't have to become something else. Yoga can be practiced as Christians, as Buddhists, as Muslims, as Sufis, whoever you are, whatever religions you belong to. Yoga is not a religion. It's a methodology and a way of life. Keep this in mind because these tools are great. And, for example, if you have a great devotion, and I'm talking now to Christians specifically, I don't want to offend anyone. If I offend anyone, I apologize until now, but I'm just saying things as I see. And, of course, we all have our own points of view and our own ideas upon things. And but this is as I see it, and I would like to share my vision with you. If you're a Christian, and you have, which I am a Christian because I love Christ and love Mother Mary and love these figures, and I feel a great connection with them. If you're a Christian, if you have this great devotion toward Christ, yoga will help you to channel this devotion toward the very essence of Christ. You will feel Him present in your life, always more. And so it is for Buddhists. You have this devotion. You have this great admiration for Buddha, for all the story, for this kind of, you know, all the story of liberation, all the story of getting free, or avoiding suffering, finding true happiness. The methodology of yoga works. Buddhists have been famous because they just cut out all the philosophy and they just went straight down to what works. Yoga works. And even its philosophy in yoga is not really a philosophy. It's a practice. And when it's not a practice, it's a truth that you can understand, that you can realize. So this is because the universality of yoga is such that it doesn't belong to a system of beliefs, but it is made up of universal principles that are common to all religions. And, for example, we find the principles of love, of nonviolence, of peace, of joy, of wisdom. And these are principles common to every religion, to every true religion. And what is the purpose of a true religion if not that one that brings you to true happiness, to true joy, to true love, and to true connection to what some people call God, some people call universe, some people call universal intelligence? I'm going to take your call very soon, and if you want to call, you're welcome to call, you're welcome to share, and we're going to share techniques and methods how you can shift and use these techniques and methodologies of yoga to change your life, especially thought in the Kriya Yoga tradition, and especially taught by Yogananda, Paramahansa Yogananda, great master. But let me remind you the numbers, phone numbers that you can call, and you can call toll-free from U.S., which is 877-876-5227, and I will repeat again, 877-876-5227. And from U.S. and Canada, you can call 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756, or you can call a direct line, which is 530-876-3222. And of course, you have to dial the international code, which is 001 for U.S. So getting back to our discourse, and all true religions are also trying to point the way to happiness, which we were saying, while avoiding suffering. So here you see in this concept, God even doesn't get in, no matter if you're even eye-faced. I'm sure you want to avoid suffering. You want to be happy in this life. You want the ultimate good. Again, this is a way of life based on principles. Yoga, with its beautiful methods, gives one total mastery over one's life. Yoga is a methodology that applies not only to your physical body, but to your energetic body, to your emotional body, to all your energy, to all your thoughts, all your mind. Imagine how beautiful it is to stop the chatter of the mind and feel peace. How much people want this thing? I don't know. Probably everybody in this world are really trying to get peace at all time. So I practice Kriya Yoga, which is in itself a way of life and a methodology. And I really advise you to go and check out this great master of Kriya Yoga, which is Paramahansa Yogananda. He's a great master who went to America many years ago. He was one of the first ones after Vivekananda. But Vivekananda sort of prepared the ground for Yogananda. Yogananda came and he gave a lot of teachings and he taught the techniques of Kriya Yoga, which are amazing techniques. I fell in love with these techniques so much. And of course, I'm talking from my own experiences. But there is so much in his teachings. And I invite you all to check him out. And you can try to find out his autobiography, which is called Autobiography of a Yogi, which is a great book and worldwide famous and translated in many languages. And another thing that I would advise you to try to find out, a little booklet. That booklet alone can really change your life. And that booklet is Scientific Healing Affirmation by Paramahansa Yogananda. It's very little, but there's a lot, there's a wealth of information in it, and it's all based on truth, and it comes from direct perception of truth. We're going to talk about this later. Well, all the teachings that I will refer to here are highly inspired by these teachings. And sometimes I had to adapt them to make their use fit into the modern reality. But the truth of the teachings, the authenticity of the teaching, and the methods are still the same. Of course, I have my own individuality that I'm working on anyway, because we're all working on something, and I'm working on my personality as well. And I try to give it to you as I can, at the best of my ability. The fact is this, when I was a monk in India, and that was a fantastic and amazingly transforming experience, one day I went to the cinema over there. I wanted to watch a movie. And by looking at the people around me, because I was really devoted to give myself to spirit totally, I want to find perfect union. I want to be totally happy. I want to be one with my own true power. And I want to be of service to people. I want people around me to understand they can do that as well as I'm doing. Before I went to the cinema, and I realized that the people would not become monks. Those people around me, I could look at them. Some people are their families. Some people are totally different interests. Some people were older, but you never know in life. Probably, maybe they can have some kind of existential crisis, or they can have a spiritual reawakening. But most of them, especially in today's era, were not going to become monks. I knew that. I had something like a satori. This is something, a term that they use in Japan, satori, that means hidden realization. Sudden hidden realization, this power out. And it is revealing. It is revealing something that imprints in your consciousness and will stay. And it leads you to take actions. It's a realization, an intuition. Most of us have had that in our lives. Things that we understand suddenly, and they help us to get a new direction in life. So I had that satori. And I realized that these people wanted to be happy only. They were not going to be monks. Probably some people are totally against temples and totally against churches or organizations. And I understand that, because sometimes organizations have been... I appreciate what they did, but sometimes, you know, getting too much organized makes you forget about the spirit. So what they wanted in truth is to be happy and be master of their lives. They wanted to develop themselves, to grow, to understand what they had to do, to understand their life purpose, why they came, to be totally happy. And they didn't want their lives to be interfered. They didn't want me to go there and interfere with their course of action. They didn't want me to go there and heal them from something according to what my opinion was. And they wanted the tools, practical methods that worked, that allowed them to take full charge of their lives. So in this radio show, I want to provide a space for transformation where people can find themselves in charge of their lives again. And if you are already in charge of your life, if you think you are in charge of your life, because sometimes we think, but we're not. Maybe we realize and we have success upon one thing, then we're not in charge upon our emotional life. We're not in charge on the relationships that are around us. So if you think, anyway, that you're in charge of your life, then you can transform what you still need to transform in order to be more happy. There's no limit to happiness. You can be more happy. Why not? If you have a beautiful life, make it more beautiful. And if you're happy, then why not be totally free? Then find freedom. In other words, start living in your own true divine nature. Establish yourself there, your true divine nature. One of the things that Yogananda advised, so in bringing these new teachings to the West, because let's face it, Hindus and yogis who were living in ancient India, they were doing that all the time, 24 hours a day, if they were sleeping. Sometimes they were not sleeping at all. And we imagine of yogis, we have this image of yogis sitting on a mountain doing extreme techniques or extreme yoga postures. But the truth is, they could do that possibly because they were living that life from morning to evening. We're not living that life. So Yogananda, a self-realized master, and self-realized means that he found true connection with God permanently, or with the cosmic intelligence permanently, with the true power within himself permanently. He realized the need to adapt in a way that was really working, these teachings, for the West. So he understood that one of the greatest necessities for human beings is to come out or their self-hypnotic state, Because people, you realize that people were thinking always the same things. That they were stuck into their thoughts, to the patterns of their thoughts. Their thoughts were always the same, repeating and repeating. They were stuck into the identification, their own body, and they could not get out of it, or too much obsessed with the appearance of their body, without understanding that if they could just step out of the body, they could see much more. And I'm not talking about neglecting the body. I think the body is fantastic. We have to take care of it, and we have to be grateful for it. But at the same time, we have to realize that it's not our only nature. There's more. And also, he realized that they were slaves of their emotions. They were slaves of their emotions, and they were self-hypnotizing this reality in their thoughts, in their body, in their emotions, and they thought they could not step out of that. That reality was that they were living in a little box. They could not step out of that. But what he realized also is that to come out of that box, they needed to develop great dynamic willpower. And when I talk about dynamic willpower, I'm not talking about wishful thinking. I'm not saying I wish I would like to do that or willing to do something. Dynamic willpower is your willpower, all your willpower, all your power directed in one way, directed in one direction in union with the cosmic power, with the cosmic willpower. And you have three spheres of consciousness. When all these three spheres of your consciousness, the three main spheres of consciousness, are directed in the same way, you have great power to transform your life. And these three spheres are the conscious sphere, subconscious sphere, and the superconscious sphere. And I would like to start to talk briefly, because we're going to talk about this in our future sessions and in future shows. But let's talk about this briefly so that you can have an understanding of what we're going to talk about, how you can possibly remanage all your tools of power to transform your life. So the superconscious sphere is the part of you that's in connection with the universe. There is a part of you that is in total connection with the universe. That part of you is the superconscious. When you tap into that, it's like the line. Is the ray of energy, the line of consciousness that you have steps out of your little reality and unites with the cosmic reality that created you. Is the sparkle. It stays the same, whether it is in your reality or in the universe. That is your superconscious sphere. Then you have your subconscious sphere. And your subconscious sphere is bigger than what you think normally. It's a storehouse of thoughts. It's a storehouse of emotions, a storehouse of patterns. And you have all that you have experienced in this life and your past lives, if you believe in that. And not only, the subconscious sphere is a power emotion. It is in connection with what people call the collective unconscious. So it is connected with the person next to you. It is connected with the person not only next to you, but the person like 500 miles away. It is connected. And of course, there are parts of you that are acting as default, patterns that are acting as default, because you've been used to use those patterns for so long, and they're acting as default. And this is part of your conscious sphere. Your energy now is used to go in a certain direction, creating those patterns, creating those whirlpools of energy. And then, and this is the most important one, because this is the one that you're going to work now, is the tool that you have at the present moment to change and to bring the superconscious sphere, subconscious sphere, together in the same direction, which is really important. You have the conscious sphere. You can make a choice now as to where direct the sphere. So how do you do that? We're going to talk about this in our future sessions, because when you're actually connecting consciously your subconscious with your superconscious in one direction, you have all the power of the universe to change your life. Now, to make another Christian, talk about a little bit with another Christian anecdote. And you remember when Jesus said to the mountain, okay, now lift up and go into the river? And he said, if you have a little faith, that would happen. Of course, how would he do that? He would not do that physically. He would not go there and try to lift up the mountain physically. He was using the power of the universe. And he was uniting his willpower with the power of the universe. And when that happens, then you have dynamic willpower. So never, never think that you don't have the power over what happens in your life. And I'm not talking about environmental control. You cannot start controlling everybody around you. But I'm talking about matching the divine life within you and all around you with the earthly life, connecting these two things together in one direction, one way, and understand that they're united. And this is what yoga is about. So that's why Yogananda, this great master, realized that the development of great willpower would allow you to step out of this self-hypnotic state, that you cannot get out of your reality. You can't get out of your reality. Another thing is, another of the teachings, another of the principles that Yogananda formulated is this. The higher the will, and we're talking about willpower, of course, the higher the flow of energy. The more willpower you have, the more energy you have, obviously. Or you can see that in life all the time when you have great energy within you because you feel happy. And what happens is that you have the willpower within you and you have the will to do things. You know, you want to do things. You want to be active. You could change the world in that moment when you have energy. And so it is also vice versa. More willpower you develop, the more, the higher the flow of energy. And the higher the flow of energy, the higher the magnetism. So, you need to develop magnetism. This is because, and here we come with the need for increasing the intake of energy, life force. We live by that. If you die, and I'm going to put food in your mouth, you're not going to start living again because the life force has left you. But if you know how to get a life force, then you have a lot of energy, you can move mountains, and you live by the life force, and then you create having magnetism like a wire, an electric wire. The more energy passes through that, the more the magnetic field is. So more life force, more life, which is equals to more happiness, and the energy starts going up. And the more the energy, more you can create opportunities at will. And the higher the magnetism, if you have a lot of energy, the higher the magnetism, the higher is your chance to attract things around you because you start becoming a magnet. You know, being a magnet, to be a magnet, you really start having power. You cannot start really changing and attract things around you. Here is a little bit of a fault with law of attraction. You have to develop power. You have to develop energy. You have to develop magnetism so that what you think has magnetic power to attract changes in your life. A person who is magnetic usually is also very happy when we talk about most positive and high magnetism because there are many different kinds of magnetism. There is animal magnetism and there is spiritual magnetism. When you have that kind of spiritual magnetism, you can achieve anything. You can attract anything. You can create things at will. Then another thing, another principle, another thing that we're going to talk about is about the right use of affirmation. This is one of the main things, one of the main tools that you're going to use, for example, to redirect your subconscious fear into the right direction. We're not using the affirmation tool as a way to reinforce our own beliefs. But we are trying to affirm verbally first and realize our divine primordial origin and potential. So basically, affirmations as they practice today is like, more or less, we want something in our life and we said, I have lots of money. Wherever I go, I get money. Wherever I go, I get a car now, I get a car, I have a wonderful, beautiful car, and you start repeating these things. And if you have great magnetism, these things can come to you quickly as well. Yes, that's true. But here, we're talking about uniting your conscious sphere, the subconscious sphere, and the superconscious sphere so that you can gain true power of your life forever. Forever. Isn't it a great goal? And so we want to say affirmations that are mirrors of what we are supposed to be, really. For example, if you want success, Yogananda used to advise, Father, you can change the word Father to God or to universal principle or to cosmic intelligence. Thou, you are success and joy. I am thy son. I am your son. I am success and joy. As above, so below. Reaffirm your identity, not with your little body, but with the divine within you. It is also another way of uniting the nature, so, of the self, of the real self, of the God within you, with the vibration of the pure sound of your voice. And the more you do this, the more you develop that quality that is known as right speech. When you start speaking right, when you start speaking the truth, everything you say resonates with truth, and therefore it has to be true. This is a tricky thing, and we're going to talk about all these things in our future session. Please stay tuned and come back, and I welcome your call. I repeat to you again, 877-876-5227 for U.S., toll-free, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 for U.S. and Canada, 888-815-9756 or the direct line is 530-876-3222. And here we come to the meditation technique. So we have explored the dynamic willpower, the development of magnetism, the right use of affirmation, and here we come to the meditation technique. In the Kriya Yoga practice, there are many wonderful meditation techniques that puts you in tune with the essence of who you are, always more, and always more quickly. All the techniques can bring you liberation. And what is liberation? Liberation is identification and abiding in the self. Identification not with your little body, but with the divine nature, the true divine nature within you. And you are once open and again to the full power, in full charge over your life, for real. The more advanced the technique, the more the power, energy, and advancement involved. And let me say something here. We're not talking about fiction. We're talking about practices. And I invite you to try. I invite you to do things. I invite you to see what works for you. We're all individuals, and we have different needs. See what works for you. See where it leads you. And if it doesn't work for you at that moment, then change. Do something else. Do something that works, but never, never stop exploring. Never stop experimenting. And I invite you, to have a sort of a scientific approach to spirituality. Not too scientific to the point that you're going to lose your inspiration, but a scientific approach in the way that you experiment and you see what is working. And what is working, even at a very small scale, then you keep on doing until it develops. And never get stuck there. Keep on developing. Find something more. If life gives you another technique that is, or an advanced modification, variation of the same technique, then go with it. Go with it. It's time to move on. Move on. Move forward in your life. Move on. Take your next step to next positive change. You are in process. You are in a process of positive change all the time. So the right ground for all these things to happen anyway that we've been talking about, not to make it fiction, is, first of all, it has to happen spontaneously and beautifully. You cannot force yourself into your divine nature. You cannot say, now I'm God, now I'm the universal intelligence, now I'm the cosmic power. You have to start from where you are. You have to start from where you are and step by step going deeper. You need to have the will to improve and grow in your life from where you are to become the best you can be. We all have good sides and bad sides, okay? And it is not our job to condemn ourselves. Don't condemn yourself. Just acknowledge what you are, and if there's something that is going wrong in your life, then be willing to make a change. Be willing to make a change. Make a change now. And if you want to do something that people consider bad, see what it's really giving you. If it's giving you something good, or if you need that experience, then who can stop you? Who can put you the handcuffs? Who can put you in prison? Who can put you behind bars and make you do that? Just know the nature of what you're doing. Know the nature of what you're doing. For example, fire, a fabulous power. But you know that it can be used for good and bad things. It can be used and directed for cooking, which is a good use, or to warm you up, which is great. But you know, because of the nature of fire, if you're going to put your hands on top, you're going to get burned. So you're going through certain experiences. Know that certain things can be used in certain ways. Know the nature of what you're doing. Investigate the nature of what is happening in your life. And then choose how you can direct that energy for your highest good. How you can direct what is happening in your life for your highest good. We all know that we are good in our hearts. We don't want really to do something extremely, extremely. I mean, there are people who might want to do that, but I mean, we are, even the worst criminal, he can perceive in his heart. He can find a way to justify what he's done. Even when you do something wrong, deep in your heart, you can easily find a way to justify what you've done. This is because we can perceive the goodness in ourselves, matching that goodness in our words and action is the right ground upon which all this methodology will grow. So no matter what you're doing, just make the choice today to perceive the goodness within you and to grow from there, to merge that goodness with words, with your actions, and with your choices. You don't have to think necessarily of a goal or how good another person is compared to you. Remember, we're all on a journey. We're all going individually through steps. And things from the outside are totally different. In fact, different than what is going inside. In fact, that person that is apparently doing something bad might seem good in himself because he knows that he's going through a transformational period. And life is full of transitional periods where you're actually transforming yourself. So I'm going to say something now that most people are just going to shout out, no, this is not possible. But let me tell you, sometimes people are not their actions. And I know that many people are skeptical on this statement, and I'm not saying that one should not take responsibility on what he does. But what the actions are actually representing of a person, it is what they're going through. And that could be a transitory period. It could be for a certain time. For example, most people are very spiritually devoted and they're very spiritual. At some point, they have too much. They have just to relax and they need to lose themselves a little bit so that they can come back with a fresh mind and they can get out of that kind of spiritual indigestion, let's say. And the same is for everybody in every area of our lives. Even if you eat too much, at some point you have to rest. You cannot keep on eating. You have to rest until you get to the point where you actually can eat again. So do not judge. Go beyond the appearance. Take a commitment with yourself and compete with yourself. Don't compete with somebody else. Every day, do better than what you've done the day before. Step away from the appearances of good and bad. Tomorrow, anyway, you're going to be different. Because these appearances are what is good and bad. live in cycle. And the cycle moves continuously. It's like wheel turning. The cycle moves continuously between good and bad. You can see the night and day. Because the nature of the cycle is to try balance itself out. But when something is good in this world, then it has to move, to shift to the bad, because cannot be imbalances. But since there is movement, there is no balance. And here we come to a great statement that I love in the Bible, which says, be still and know that I am God. And this is what yoga tells you to do. Be still. Find stillness. In the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, we find Yoga Chitti Vritti Niroda. That means yoga is the neutralization of the fluctuations of the movements of the mind. That happens. You find stillness. You find who you are. And is it really so easy? Is it all we have to do? Yes. Being easy, I don't know if it's easy, but this is certainly what we have to do. You see, when you are in front of a scale, you find you see that the scale finds its point of balance when it finds stillness. And so it is, when you find stillness, find balance. And when you find balance, you see clearly. There is no hypnotic self-imprisonment. You're not hypnotized, but what is going on, what is moving in your life. You see things clearly as they are. You gain what is called wisdom. You know how to create what you want, because you know what steps to take. You know what your life is about. You know what is the next step. You find that you have another resource of knowledge instead of intellectual knowledge. And this is intuition. When you find stillness, intuition, a new kind of intelligence, comes forth. This is the intuition that is within you, which says to you, knowledge is not intellectual data. Knowledge is perception of truth. Intuition is direct perception of truth at any moment you need it, about what you need. Would you like to know what you need at the moment you need? Then you can get that through intuition. It is a quality of the soul that comes up naturally as we let go of the old idea that we are our own mind patterns and emotions, or even our own body. Thoughts are not you. Intuition, direct perception of truth, the joy, the peace that you feel when you still your mind, that is your essence. Go with that. A thing that comforted me enormously when I started to go into this path more deeply is to read this quote on the book Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda, which said, thoughts are universally and not individually rooted. That means that the thoughts that you're having now are not yours. They're not rooted. They're not in you. The seed of these thoughts is not in you. The thoughts, I'm talking about the thoughts, is not in you. The thoughts, the ideas, whatever, it's in the universe. They are in the universe. They're not yours. This statement changed my life. Everything I thought, I realized that it was not mine. Sometimes I can say I had quite pretty nasty thoughts. And I realized it's not mine. I can get rid of it because I can. If they're universally rooted, that means that I'm tapping already in the universe to get that thought into myself. That's why a thought can be changed by willpower. Once I understood and accepted this concept fully, I knew it was not what I was thinking. But I was just attracting that thought into my head through the magnetism generated by my brain, through the energy that was going on in my brain. That energy is magnetic and attracted this little thought. And of course, the brain is working in terms of consciousness. Okay? In other words, the brain is a magnificent storehouse of information. just programmed by your consciousness. And your consciousness is nothing else how much you're conscious of your true divine power. If you're really conscious of your true divine power, then we're talking about cosmic consciousness. Cosmic consciousness means being conscious of your true divine power at the cosmic level. If you're conscious of not this power at all, then your consciousness is not of that level. Being conscious of what is happening in your life anyway is what is needed. You need to be at least conscious of what is really happening in your life. Don't try to escape. Don't keep your mind busy with stupid things or things that are distractive. I don't want to, of course, to insult anyone. Just you know what you consider stupid, what you don't consider stupid. For me, something really silly can be highly enjoying as well anyway. But when you feel the need to analyze your life, then start analyzing it. Don't run away. You have to be conscious of what is happening. And this is your first step in taking consciously charge and responsibility over your life. In the recognition of what is happening inside your brain, which in turn attracts your thoughts, you can consciously start changing the thoughts you attract. And let me tell you something. Once a thought is repeated a million times, it acquires great power. And there's no difference in energy between thought and matter. It's just a different kind of vibration. Thoughts is matter. Thoughts are matter. Subtle, they are. Therefore, what you think repeatedly with power and energy is matter. It has to come in your life. Therefore, choose carefully. Be aware of what's happening in your mind. The more conscious decisions you make, the more you involve a change in consciousness. Therefore, you have to take power. You have to take charge of your life. Be conscious of your decisions. And this change in consciousness will happen. When this starts to happen, it's beautiful. Step by step, it doesn't have to be all at once. We don't need that. But it's really important to understand that a change in consciousness is an energetic change as well. And that is, of course, a change of vibration. And the more willpower you have developed, the more energy you have, and the more magnetism you have. The more magnetism you have, the higher your ability to change your life for the best. Be magnetic. Develop life force. And the beautiful thing about yoga, develop the intake of life force that you take. The beautiful thing about yoga and the teachings of Kriya Yoga is that they teach you exactly to do that in very simple steps. Another thing that I always talk about, and this is more of my little approach to Kriya Yoga and to the techniques and the power of Kriya Yoga, I realize that people need more tools, more modern tools, also to change and shift their mind, to change and shift their thoughts, that they can change their reality. And I call this process mind shifting. Knowing the thoughts are not ours, but attracted to us, we can start making right choices for our life. This is what it is about. What is in our consciousness will come to us. And this starts with conscious decisions and conscious intent. And the word intent is really important. Once you know through intuition what is right for you, and you have developed enough magnetism, then you can use the incredible tools of mind shifting. Develop great magnetism first, and then start using mind shifting. You can also use mind shifting before, but it acquires real power when you start developing a little bit of magnetism. The more you use them, the more you use these tools of mind shifting, the higher the power they acquire, of course. Mind shifting is a particular method that allows you to approach your reality in order to change it. I largely use this method of mind shifting in my session. And I invite you to have a look at my website, which is www.joycelestial.org. Have a look at that. And, of course, it is not exhaustive. It cannot explain everything. But you can book a session there. You can write me an email, and I'm very happy to receive all your emails and answer your questions as much as I can. And And also there are some free stuff, some free chapters from my two books and my bad books. And I invite you to join me there and invite me. So I use this method of mind shifting in my sessions. And what you do in this method is to project your current reality outside of yourself, get rid of it outside of yourself, transform it, and reproject it into yourself in a new way. You project a reality outside yourself, you transform it, and you reproject into yourself what you have transformed. It is a principle. The more you use it, the more you become master of your reality. The more you know, you can and change. Mind shifting uses the laws of movement in this. But we're talking about using these cycles in the way that are beneficial to you. You get to the source of creation, and from there, you recreate a new reality into movement. From movement, you get into the source of creation, the creative power, which is the power within you anyway, and from there, you recreate your new reality. You project out your reality, get into the source, and there it gets transformed and it gets back to you. It's like changing your clothes, you know. Once your clothes is dirty, you have to dig it off, take off your clothes, clean it, and you put on a new one. So go to my website, joycelestial.org, soon to be .com, joycelestial, like joy, divine joy, joycelestial, coming from the heaven, .com. But for now, go to .org. And you will see that I have also applied this concept into the practice of the yoga postures. The techniques here can be extremely easy and also more advanced. That depends on the experience one might have. It is the principle at work, following certain universal rules that count. And the techniques might vary according to the situation, to the people, or even what kind of energies need to be involved. Before applying all the techniques, ask yourself, what do you value in your life? This is important because everything you do, every change you want to make, it needs to have a purpose. It needs to be directed towards something. This question was asked me from one of my spiritual teachers, which is Goswami Kriyananda, the founder of the Kriya Yoga Temple in Chicago, and he's a great teacher, and I hope he can reach always more people. And knowing what you value in your life is the first step in finding the direction of your life. You see, if your thoughts, if your actions don't have a purpose, if you don't have an ideal, it doesn't have to be too specific, but you need to have an ideal. You don't know where you're going randomly. Unless you answer honestly to this question without answering what you think you should answer, then you don't have a direction in life. Don't answer, please, don't answer this question by listening to the voice of the other people that you have in your head. Maybe of your father, or your brothers, or your mothers, of all the people and friends around you. What do you value in life, really? There's nothing wrong with you. Just go to the principle and try to understand what you're trying to express behind. We're going to talk about these things, about self-analysis in the future. The answer to this question must be honest. What are you looking for in all that you're doing? What is your real aim? And don't answer, I want to heal the world, or I want to find God consciousness. Be honest to yourself. The real happiness in life comes when you unite what you are giving value to what is real, making a real contribution to the world around you. When you're able to unite in your life your goal, your true goal, in making that goal a contribution for the world around you, then you reach happiness. You've found your life purpose. But that is the second step. That can never be taken without knowing what is it that you really value. So you can answer the question, what am I here on this planet? What am I supposed to do? What is my life purpose? If we have called, I'd be happy to hear, or we're about to close our session, and I wish you all great joy. I just want to say, on the October 12th, I am giving the Pilates Studio here in Bangkok workshop on your life purpose, and you're all welcome to come. Please book directly the workshop, your place at the workshop, this number, 02-650-9783. I'm talking about Bangkok, Thailand, 02-650-9783. And next sessions, we're going to talk about self-analysis, we're going to talk about magnetism, we're going to talk about many techniques, meditation techniques that will allow you to shift your life, and I wish you great joy and love. Visit my website, www.joycelestial.org. You can book a session, and there are various packages available, and you can get my books, and you can also read a little bit about myself. This website will grow. It will grow more. There will be more online lessons, and also free material section will expand or start going there, and soon I will add a signing up service. Soon you will start also receiving my newsletter. If you sign up, you write me an email with my latest activities and special offers for classes and techniques, and I'm open to receive your emails and to talk with you. And I talk to you, and thank you very much. See you next Tuesday with Awareness of the Soul on 9 a.m. on BBS Radio. And if it's not mainstream, BBS Radio. Welcome from Vincenzo Guarisco.